Welcome to the What's Next podcast. The function of this podcast is to help current students have a better understanding of the options available to them after they finish their studies, as well as being aware of the support that they have available to assist them in their journey from the start to the end, beyond their studies here at ICMP. So today on this episode of the What's Next podcast, we're joined by a special guest, and I'm going to allow him to introduce himself and tell us a bit about who he is, and we'll get into what's next. So if you could tell us, what is your name, what you studied at ICMP, and what is your current occupation slash job?
Hi everyone, I'm Isaac Harrison. I am an alumni from ICMP. I studied the BA Creative Musicianship. I mean, I also did a lot of other ones. I was actually there for a few years, so I did a few other ones as well. Like I did the higher diploma for performance for a little while, and I did BMUS for like a year, but I finished the degree doing the creative musicianship. I graduated in 2020, like right into the pandemic. And since graduating, I have been working as like a freelance music marketing strategist. And actually recently, I've just been accepted into a new role working as a part of the digital team at Polydor, Universal Polydor Records. So that's kind of an exciting new change as well. But yeah, I'm really excited to speak to you about pretty much everything that's going on here today, Jordan.
Yeah, we're excited to speak to you too. So let's get straight into the question. So I guess the first thing I want to ask you is, you're preparing to go into a new role, but in your current role, were there any skills that you had learned from doing creative musicianship that you were able to translate into the music marketing strategist role you were doing?
Yeah, I would say any skill that you learn can be useful in kind of any... It kind of just depends on how you want to apply it, right? So the BACM was really focused on a lot of general creative skills, everything from like songwriting, actually more like music focused things, to let's see, like marketing, business planning, and that kind of stuff. So like I wouldn't say that there's anything that was not useful. I would say that everything is useful, just depending on how you go about it. But I would say one thing in particular that really kind of triggered my journey towards this direction was probably my final year business project, where, well, essentially you're just trying to create a whole business plan and strategy, marketing strategy, all of those kind of details. So that was sort of my first exposure to that kind of work, and I just found that like to be really fascinating and really helpful, because I never really thought about what it meant to have a creative career and a career as an artist, or as a career as someone who works in the kind of background of the music industry, until I kind of got exposed to that in the first place. So the kind of skills that you learn there, I found like critical thinking is probably the most important thing. Just, and I know most people probably wouldn't want to hear this, but like just all of the essays that you end up doing, or all the research, all that kind of stuff it's actually really important. Just being able to think about things a little, like, one step deeper, you know, and, like, really ask yourself, like, what is the intention behind the things I'm doing, or what kind of outcomes do I want to see, and what kind of steps do I need to take to get there? So, like, being able to create a plan, think critically, those are the kind of skills I think are used on, like, an everyday, almost, like, every minute kind of basis in the work that I kind of do.
No, amazing. Thank you for sharing. I think even you saying doing essays, which I know people are going to listen, be like, I don't want to hear that. It's helpful, even if it doesn't seem helpful in the moment. The skills that you have from thinking critically actually can help you beyond in a lot of different areas, whether that's in music or not in music. So that's actually, it's a good point you mentioned there. I think one of the questions I wanted to ask you, so how did you find the first year was after you graduated? Like, what was it like for you?
Oh, I mean, I think like everyone, I would say it was pretty chaotic. Like the second half of my my final year at ICMP, everyone was on lockdown, and all the plans that we originally had to do were suddenly like, oh, well, we can't do these anymore. Like, I think we had like a final performance or something that we were going to do. Suddenly we can't you know, the venue that we booked out, all the planning basically just went to nothing, right? It amounted to nothing. And aside from the fact that we had like sets rehearsed and things like that. So what we ended up doing instead was submitting, it was sort of like those like one of the very first kind of lockdown session style live performances. That among the business project all kind of kicked me off into this music marketing strategy sphere where it's like, okay, yeah, a creative career is really cool and working as an artist is really something I'm interested in, but at the same time, I'm almost more fascinated about what it takes to create like a sustainable career in a creative field like that. So I was trying to basically try and understand what it meant to run a business as an artist, because I think that's something that like people don't tend to talk about a lot, is the fact that like every artist essentially, like if you're trying to have a career as an artist, you're running your own business. Like, you are a business. I don't think people like talking about that, but like that's the case. So how do you run that well, you know? And that's something that was really like quite interesting to me. So I started kind of getting more interested in that general like area. Like, can I do to stay productive and feel like I'm moving on and not feeling stuck with my life after that? Like, I think people already kind of feel like, oh, what do I do now that I've graduated? Like, what's next, you know? So for me, I just wanted to learn as many new skills as I could. So I started doing like online courses on marketing and like all the free ones. I didn't want to pay anything because I just finished paying for the degree, right? But yeah, so I was like, from my final projects in my degree, I was really curious about that whole sphere. So I started learning more and pursuing it more, doing online courses, reading books. Yeah, I know, right? It's crazy. Like, reading books and buying books actually helps you to learn stuff. So I bought a bunch of that stuff. I started following a lot of Instagram pages and YouTube channels that just talked about all of this stuff, and just tried to do as much independent research as I could to kind of learn more about what it meant to be working in marketing. And like, because I think a lot of the time, if you don't know much about marketing, you also hear the word and you're like, ugh. You know, you hear it and you think like, oh, I don't, you know, it doesn't really feel authentic to me. And it's like, but what does it mean? Like, what is marketing, right? It's essentially just trying to communicate your intentions to other people. It's to tell your story. And I think after I kind of gained that understanding, I realized that, you know, it's really about the kind of mindset you have and the intentions and the way that you kind of execute those things. So I wanted to learn how to do marketing in a way that aligned with my own values. So I was focusing on like holistic marketing and kind of value driven stuff, storytelling, that kind of stuff, which really kind of pushed me forward and got me a lot more interested in this whole sphere of marketing, so that it felt less sleazy and kind of like, and basically just a lot more aligned with the values of the people that I was surrounded with, and including myself as well. So that was kind of like the lead up. So that's when I started, like the first 6 months after I finished my degree, I was really just trying to like learn everything I could about this whole thing. And then I was like, okay, I guess I kind of want to work in this area. So what I did was I just started applying to a lot of like entry-level jobs with no luck getting any of them, because, you know, working in, I think there's sort of this weird phenomenon, or like that I kind of noticed, was that if you're trying to work in like the industry side of things, there are actually a decent number of jobs for like mid-range and like higher level positions. But when it comes to like entry level things, there are like 7 positions available like twice a year. And there are like 2,000 plus people applying to each of these things. And it's like, that's, to me, that's crazy, right? And I recall one instance in particular where I was applying to a role for, I think it was like an apprenticeship, like a creative, it's like a content apprenticeship. This position, there were about 7 roles and I was applying for one of them, and each role had like over 2,000 plus applicants to it. And the entire process took up about 6 months. There were 5 stages of interviews over 6 months because they had so many applicants for it, right? I was lucky enough to get to the final stage, and I was in like the final like 3 or 5 people to do the final thing, right? But I got second place and then I didn't get it. So I was sort of like, I was so under the impression that I was like, wow, I finally made it this far, 6 months, all of this time, all this energy and all this like research, and then I get nothing from it. You know, that was the mindset that I kind of had as soon as that happened. But I was also like, wow, I went through this entire process of like learning how to interview and how to like speak with people. And I also learned a lot about the area that I was like trying to get into through this whole process, because, you know, you want to try and stand out. But that whole process and the result, like as upsetting as it was at the time, it also made me realize that like this is kind of the reality of the situation. And instead of trying to be like, don't get me wrong, like I spent some time being upset about it afterwards, but I really found myself trying to think about, okay, like this is the reality, this is the problem that I have to solve, so what do I do, like what are my next steps? So I kind of spent some time really just trying to ask myself and find an answer to that question. And I actually spent a lot of time speaking with the team at the Hub, so with Ollie and James, just trying to figure out what I should be doing and how I can gain more experience in this area, and kind of exploring what my options were. And it was actually James Brister who said one thing, which was probably one of the most impactful pieces of advice that I got during that time, which this is probably like almost a year on after graduating at that point. And I was thinking, like, this is like the same trope that you always find with every person who's like unemployed, but they're looking for their first job, which is like, all of these jobs require experience, but I have no experience. So it's like, how do I get in here? And James suggested, well, okay, since you missed out on this, I guess this round or the season where all of these job opportunities show up, like, you then have to wait for like another like 3 to 5 months before you start seeing more of these kinds of entry-level positions showing up again, because that's generally how long they last. So he said, like, what can I do in the meantime to kind of prepare myself for this next step, which was, okay, what do I want to be doing? I want to be working with artists, like directly with artists and helping them to grow their careers. So he was like, okay, build a portfolio, start a business. And I was like, what? Like, how do you do this? How do you start a business? Like, what does that mean? And turns out you can just, you know, start a business, like become a freelancer. And to do that, you start off by offering stuff for free if you have no experience. And that's kind of what I did. I went on to, I think, the alumni forum, like on the Facebook group for ICMP students. And just, I offered like, I think 3 free spaces to work with some artists to try and build up my own experience, but also provide them a lot of attention to detail around their strategies and like their business and all those sorts of things for about 3 months for free. Yeah. So I built up a portfolio by doing that. And from there, I started kind of building more clients. I started getting some paid clients. And kind of the more people that you work with, the more you have people to also attest for your skills and your personality. So that sort of a long story to kind of tell you what I did, but that's kind of how things went.
No, I mean, that was very, I think even within the story you said, there was a lot of insightful nuggets and actually a lot of questions I was going to ask. You wrapped it all up in that story. So thank you. I want to kind of focus on maybe an aspect of what you said. How, for those who are listening, who are searching for jobs, searching for positions that are catered to their skill set or their passions, can you kind of talk about, you know, creating your own experience? How can you create your own opportunities when there's no opportunities that present itself, or they're all like very much overcrowded and overpopulated?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, I think if you're trying to get into the the industry side of things, that's just like an inevitable roadblock that you kind of have to accomplish until there's like better infrastructure for like or like better entry points for this kind of career. Because like at the end of the day, it's also like there's competition, you know, like there's only so many positions available in the mainstream industry. And that's why there's so many small companies and freelancers popping up now, because they want to do the work that they're passionate about. But they also have to kind of create their own opportunities to do that work. And it's surprising because it's like, no one teaches you how to do this. No one teaches you how to set up a business unless you like, I think a lot of people don't talk about the fact that artists or industry workers, there are actually a lot of people who work in the industry for labels as well, who are freelancers. They have a freelance contract with the label that they're working at, but they're not like technically employed by the label. They're not like an employee. They're just a contractor, essentially. And that was actually like really eye-opening to me as well. So that means that a huge portion of the people working in the industry are freelancers. Like, you don't necessarily have to be employed by somebody, but like you have to make them, you can make them your client. If you think about it, like there are a number of, independent music marketers who, or like small agencies that have been created. So like if you have the knowledge and you have the skills and you have at least some, to some degree, like you have a portfolio that shows like the level of quality that you can provide and like have people attest for your skills and just the overall experience of working with you. You know, some of these small companies and individuals land big clients like Universal or Sony or Warner. And like, because at the end of the day, like they just have an in-house team. And then they also, you know, imagine having all those employees, which might not always have the right skill set or the right passion for each individual project that their artists are trying to do. So they kind of like go and hire these individual people who are specialized in these areas that they want to work with. So like if you have someone who wants to shoot, like say Universal has like an artist that wants to, and also I'm just to clarify, I'm not speaking for Universal as someone like I can't, these are all like my own opinions and like experiences, or like, okay, so let's say like Sony or something, right? They they might have an artist who wants to shoot a documentary about their experiences or something, as and have their music in the background of it, for example. Their in-house marketing team probably like won't have the specialism to be able to accomplish something like that. So they want to at least create the strategy for it, but also they'll want to hire out like individuals who are specialized in those areas. So like, how do you shoot a documentary? Like, what makes a documentary good? All of these kinds of questions that add up into those sorts of decisions. Like they lead up to that. So if you're trying to create your own opportunities, I think it's important. And I think this is kind of an overused term nowadays, at least once you get into the sphere that I'm working in, like you kind of hear this all the time, but like you have to find your niche, find out what your specialism is. And like, it doesn't mean that you have to do only one thing all the time, but like you can be good at a lot of things, but it's important to be like really good at certain things as well. Because that's often like the bread and butter. Like that's what makes you like valuable as a business owner and like a service provider, because people are looking for a specific service. So yeah, I do think it's important to carve out your niche, but also if you're trying to create opportunities for yourself, I think it's important to also set realistic expectations about like what can you really expect in the very beginning of your journey. Like, you're not going to land like a massive client. You're going to have to start building up your reputation. That's like the first step. And a lot of that's just like building new relationships. So it's considering like, what kind of people are you going to be surrounding yourself with? What kind of work do you want to be doing? And how can you go about doing activities, and different actions, or I guess I'm not really sure how to phrase that, but what kind of things can you do that will stand out and like help you get more clients as well? And I'm not talking about marketing necessarily. I'm talking about like, what kind of projects can you work on? Like, what's impressive? Like, what will stand out to people and be like, wow, that's so cool. Tell me more, you know, because that's the kind of stuff that will not only get pique people's interest, but like when you have a story to tell about that, you're also able to connect with them on like an easier level. Like you actually have something to share with them, and like the work that you do sort of acts as the medium for building a relationship with new people. Because if you're working with new clients, if you're working with anybody, like you want to have something that you share in common with them, because you want to make sure that you're aligned in your values and your intentions and like the overall goal. Like it's not just like, how do I explain it? It's important not to just take any job. Like it's important to be like decisive and intentional with the jobs that you take, because something might not align with you or your interests, and then that might kind of, yeah, sure, you might get a bit of like money from it, but it's also sort of like that might act more as a blemish to your portfolio or career than it is gonna like help it to shine. It might just take up more space, and that's okay. Like if you need the money, that's also an important thing to do. But I think if you are trying to create opportunities for yourself, the main focus is like essentially learning how to set up an actual business for yourself and to create like a strong brand for that business, and really understanding what a brand is. Because I think it's important to realize that it's more than just like a logo or pictures. It's like, what are your values? What are you actually trying to achieve? How do you want to interact with the people that you bring into your business environment? How do the services that you provide to people create a nice experience for them? Or your intended experience, I guess. So there are a lot of things like that to take into consideration. I feel like it's kind of a massive question to try and give like all the details on how to create opportunities for yourself. But I think two things that are important are to set up your kind of whole business infrastructure and understand what it is that you want to do. And the second part of it is building relationships and really like nurturing those, being a genuine, honest, good person who has like good intentions and wants to provide the people that you work with like the best experience that you possibly can.
Amazing. So just to wrap up the conversation, because I think there's been a lot of really insightful jewels that you've shared, what tips would you share? What piece of advice would you give to the younger version of yourself that you think would be useful knowing what you know now?
First thing, probably build your relationships. Like just speak to people, because I would say most of my big opportunities, and even like the fact that I'm getting this new job at in Universal, is largely down to the opportunities that came up from connections that I've made. That's like the biggest thing. Like I made a friend at ICMP who knew that I was interested in like the Japanese music industry. So they put me in contact with a friend of theirs who's like a Japanese producer who's living outside of Japan, right? And then I became friends with their brother. And then I worked on a project with them. And then kind of they introduced me to another friend and so forth and so forth. And then like, then I'm speaking with people, like professionals in the industry working over in Japan. And then back in January, I actually had the opportunity to go and fly over there. So it's kind of like, I took some part-time job just to like get some extra funds to be able to fly over there and just like meet all these people. And like from that, I was able to work on a campaign for the entire month with an artist over there, which led me to be able to put that on my CV. And then I got this job because of that. So it's like these kinds of things, like put in the work, put in the time. And the other thing is kind of linked to that as well, which is I'm speaking about that like in quite a casual way that I managed to go to Japan, but like it really, those two things kind of come together, like building your relationships and taking the opportunities that come when they like show up like that. So I managed to build really good friendships with people over that time. And this is over the course of like a few years, right? But when that opportunity showed up to be like, hey, I managed to get to know an artist who's over there and be able to work closely with them and build a campaign for them. Like I offered the artist if I could do some free work for him. And he was like, yeah, sure. Over that time, we did some free work. They were really happy with it. And they invited me to be like part of their team for that month and on that campaign. So we worked on it and released the whole campaign and then get like a whole bunch of great results. And then I ended up also having something I can put on my CV and add to my portfolio of work, which really stands out too. So the other piece of advice that I would probably tell my younger self is start early. Just like build your portfolio and start early. Like the more stuff you have on it, the better. And having a lot of things that stand out, like you're always going to try and do better than the last thing that you did. So start early. Because like if I could, I wish I knew exactly what I wanted to do when I first started my degree. But you know, university is also a time to figure that stuff out. But if you know what you want and you have like that kind of clarity and certainty on what you want to achieve, start early, work on as many projects as you can while you have the security to do so. And while you're surrounded by a community of people who are actively trying to do that stuff too. Basically try and do that. Because by the time you graduate, you might actually have a portfolio that's ready and worthy of like getting you hired somewhere instead of kind of doing what I did. And like, yeah, sure, I spent my years trying to figure out what I actually wanted for my university experience. And then I spent like a year after that kind of figuring out how to enter into something that I wasn't already a part of. And then spending extra time after that building a portfolio for it. It's like, I'm 25 now, which like, I'm not like super old, but also there are years that I wish I could have done stuff earlier if I knew how to. So I'd say, yeah, the best piece of advice would just like start early, do stuff, have things to talk about, and make good friends.
I think I've got nothing more to add to that, really. So yeah, I guess thank you, Isaac, for, I guess, just being transparent. I think even with the story and stories you were sharing, I think there's a lot of wisdom and a lot of stuff that people that are preparing to graduate, people that have probably recently graduated, and maybe those who aren't even close to graduating yet can listen to and actually, you know, take and be like, okay, you know what, I can actually start implementing some of these things now and start to think, how can I take some of these things? They can start early. And actually, you know, it's being able to kind of utilize just your own insight and your own experience. So, yeah, thank you for spending the time having a chat with me on this podcast. You know,
one thing that I think just ties everything together probably is like, I know that I spoke about what to do for the people who already know what they want, but also, I was actually telling you this before we even started, which was, if you don't know what you're looking, like what you're passionate about or what you're interested in, like people are always telling you to chase your passions, but if you don't know what it is, chase your curiosity first, because that'll lead you to your passions and then you can figure things out that way. Like there's always a direction to go. So don't be discouraged.
I feel like I'm going to use that as a soundbite. Just going to like, just,
yeah, just like clip it in there.
That's the quote that you look for in every video. But no, honestly, thank you, Isaac, for even sharing that pearl of wisdom. And yeah, for all those who are listening, thank you for listening to this episode. We'll be back next time with another guest talking about what's next. So check out the other episodes that are available and stay tuned for the next episode.